Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Hey, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to, hosted by me and Larson. Yeah, we're on the iTunes, right here on the YouTube, right here on the Stitcher Radio. I'm sure Android podcasting devices of some sort. I don't really know anything about Android phones. You have an Android phone.
I still don't know anything about it.
I don't get it. Anyways, we also have a Patreon, Larson. Oh, we're on SoundCloud. We also have a Patreon right now. All $1 and up patrons are able to see this live.
Well, today.
Today. This is their monthly one at $1. You can check out one every week if you want to. Every week you can join us live for this podcast at $5 a month and more. Oh my God, you're fucking yawning already. Jesus Christ.
Let's get to the real
conversation. During the pitch, too. During the fucking Patreon pitch, you're yawning? Oh my God. You get a nice little postcard at $10 and up, $20 and up. You get the upcoming Stephen Larson comic book in the Stephen Larson care package. I know you've heard this before, but we have new listeners, new viewers. Do you want to just take a walk while I do the pitch?
No, I'll sit here.
Okay.
This iced tea is really quenching my thirst, so I'll
But evidently there's no caffeine in that.
I've already drank about 85% of it.
Yeah, we've had a long day. We had to reshoot our Machinima recap show. Tell the people why, Larson. What's the big news of the day? Oh, no, hold on. Fuck that. I give a shout out to the new patrons. You give us money, then I'm going to at least say your fucking name on Patreon. X-Ray Guy. This is ever since the last episode of Going In Raw.
Okay.
X-Ray Guy put in money. Peter McCauley put in money. Adam Ester or Oester put in money. Clavs Denters put in money. James Stratford put in money. Jay Mitchell, Brian Keel, Derek Simmons, Matthew Audet or Auday, I'm not sure. Damon Eder / Namikaze 66 and Lance Watt. They're all patrons. They're all going to get some stuff.
Thank you.
They're all going to get us. More of us.
The huge news today.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns has been suspended for violating the WWE's wellness policy.
He's now
30 days.
He's now the guy sitting at home for 30 days.
Yeah.
That's where he's chilling at home. This is huge, man. This is really weird. Like, we shot our Machinima recap show earlier today.
Yeah, about noonish.
About noonish.
We went to Del Taco to get some lunch. We're waiting for our food, and Steve goes, "We need to reshoot stuff." And he shows me on his phone this thing from WWE saying that Roman Reigns has been suspended.
It was on Twitter. Everybody, all the great friendos out there, the Going In Raw community, I love when they break news for us.
Yeah.
And so I get on my Twitter thing, and because I go to my notifications first. God, it's all about me.
Yeah, I know.
I go to what people want to say about me, and then right there, it says Roman Reigns suspended for 30 days for violating the wellness policy. This is insane. So many questions.
He issued a statement taking full responsibility for it.
Yeah.
He says, what did he say? Do you have the tweet in front of you?
He said, I fucked up.
I owned it. No excuses.
No excuses. I own it. I want to apologize to my friends and family and the company for violating the wellness policy, for this mistake. He called it a mistake.
Yeah, so we don't know what he may have tested positive for.
We don't know. Did he mistakenly do a line of coke? Did he mistakenly smoke a joint? A J, as they call it. Did he mistakenly fall in a batch of methamphetamines?
It's irresponsible to speculate on about any of that.
It's completely responsible to talk about all this. Did he accidentally audition for that one commercial that talks about natural hot dogs where the buff dude is dressed up like a cow and he's got a syringe coming out of his arm?
I've never seen that commercial.
That is the most annoying commercial, but it's kind of funny. They've got like this huge buff dude.
What brand is the hot dog?
I forget, to be honest with you. He's this huge buff dude and he's got like a really cheesy cow costume on.
Yeah.
Like a little suspenders, like a cow thing. And there's like, you know, like a soccer mom and she's saying, I don't want my kids to have hormones in them. You know, he's like, no, I'm all natural. He's got like an Arnold accent. He's all natural. But he's got like a syringe hanging out of his arm. And she says, well, you have a syringe hanging out of your
arm. That's a weird commercial. Haunch.
It is really weird. It's really slightly weird amusing. Commercial. She seems like she's really uptight, which really bugs me. Like, you're eating hot dogs. Like, are you really going to nitpick about how often are you going to feed your kid hot dogs that you're worried about them getting hormones in their body? Like, if that's the level of hot dog consumption that your family has, you should reconsider your entire diet.
Well, that's true, yeah.
It's like, who picks up hot dogs and says, oh, that's good, no hormones in this?
I've done that before.
Really?
Yeah.
It's what do you have, like a barbecue? Like, have hot dogs, what, once every 2 months or so? Like, how often do you have hot dogs?
I don't like eating nitrates and that kind of stuff. It's bad for you. Yeah.
You're not a delicate flower.
No. Well,
you're not a. It's not going to sit in you.
You've said otherwise many times that I am a delicate flower. Also, I actually eat a lot of processed meats.
Number one thing that I say? What is the? You know it.
The human body is a resilient thing.
You say resilient all, machine.
You say all the time.
It is,
but it always catches up with you.
Unless you're having 10 hot dogs a day, you have nothing to worry about.
I don't have 10 hot dogs a day. No, that's not exactly true.
That is true.
No, it's not true.
Process a hot dog a day for the rest of your life. You'll be totally fine.
No, you won't.
You will be.
No, one hot dog a day.
Yeah.
You'll be dead by the time you're 45.
That's so not true.
You know, hot dogs are like 85% fat.
I'm not saying that you only have a hot dog a day. You load up on all good stuff. But on top of that, once a day you have a hot dog, you'll last far longer than 45.
Yeah, I don't know. Between that and all the nitrates and other garbage they put in it.
What if Roman Reigns had too many hot dogs and that showed up?
He tested positive for excessive nitrates.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that's a conversation I have another day.
Yeah, we don't want to bore the people arguing about.
I think they're more entertained by us.
A more organic diet like me, or just dump all anything that you want into your body like you do. Because I used to do that too. I used to just dump whatever in my body.
You were much happier back then too. You're much more lively and go back and look at the early 10 for the wins back when you used to eat shit.
That could be. See, it's all caught up to me now, though.
Oh, God. All right. We'll get to that later. Maybe in the bonus episode, we'll talk about hot dogs.
Organic foods.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah, you guys can check out the bonus episode today. All our patrons today can check out the bonus episode every week, the $5 patrons and up. Get to check out a bonus episode on our Patreon site.
Yeah.
A lot of questions.
Roman business.
Okay, so there was the question.
Well, there's one more thing that we know.
Okay.
That the 30-day suspension will be up before Battleground. So that match, as booked, Triple Threat Shield match, can still happen.
Correct. One of the things that we had a question about that you seem to have verified via Meltzer, is that right?
Yeah, Wrestling Observer Radio.
Was, when did the WWE know? That's kind of an important question because my point of view was this, when I first heard about this and we were asking ourselves, when did they find out, is that... they find out the test results and then they don't immediately pull this guy without a true zero tolerance would have been, we find out you're not going out there.
Yeah.
We're going to on air say you've been stripped of the title and suspended for 30 days, which they can then later on weave into the story because there's a story to be told.
Yeah.
And the title now is going to be like the money, like you'd make the money. I don't know how they do it. But to me, that would ensure the integrity of their wellness policy. If they said, no, once you've tested positive, you are done.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you've speculated the clean pin by Rollins, the way Dean Ambrose talked down to Roman last night. Maybe that was a form of punishment, of humiliation of sorts. And that's their justification for, hey, you know, we still have a show. We have to get the belt off this guy, but we're going to make him look bad in the process as part of his punishment.
See, I think I don't have a problem with him competing at Money in the Bank because they have to get the belt off him.
Okay.
And as tenuous as Roman's places in the eyes of the fans now, starting a show with stripping him of the belt and saying, you know, he's been suspended for 30 days for stripping of the belt, then he's done.
Yeah.
He's completely done.
Yeah.
At least have him go, have the match, have Rollins pin him. It was Reigns' first clean loss ever, first clean pin. He's never been pinned cleanly before.
Right.
That was the first time.
Yeah.
By a single competitor. I mean, Rollins pinned him at WrestleMania 31, but that was a three-way dance.
Right.
Whatever. So there's that. That's one blemish to his record.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you mentioned, Ambrose kind of running him down a little bit last night on Raw, kind of humiliating him a little bit. That could be seen as punishment. I have no problem with him dropping the belt at Money in the Bank. Him showing up on Raw last night, if they knew he was going to be suspended, is a little weird because they could easily written him off.
The weird thing, additionally, you're correct, but the weird thing additionally is now they have a Battleground main event, which he's going to be off suspension for 3 days prior. So he's going to be off TV, off being involved in these storylines. And somebody made the point, I forgot who was on my Twitter, saying, you know, he really wasn't even around for the WrestleMania main event.
No, he wasn't at all.
He was off TV then. But that lent itself to a really poor buildup for his match.
I will say this, though. If he were there to be involved in the promotion of the Battleground main event, he wouldn't really be adding much.
I agree, but given that this, you know, there's a certain way that the WWE does things, and having your guy there is part of building your story and pitching people.
No, I understand.
On, you got to buy the network.
But even throughout his main event push the last few months, barring the few weeks where he and Sheamus were directly feuding and he won the belt on Raw, for the most part, Reigns, as a main event guy, was kind of also a background guy.
Yeah, he was. And that sort of goes into the entire big, long story of Roman Reigns, the curious case of Roman Reigns, in that they want to make him the face. We know this, but they're not willing to do what it takes to make it's so bizarre. It's like they're talk about a fragile flower, you know, like
a delicate flower,
Like they're trying to like protect this thing to the extent that they're not letting it out into the world to do something warrant the fans. Sure, they booed him horrifically last night, and there was to my ears, I couldn't hear another side to that. When he still had the belt, there was another side.
No, at the
to
end
that.
Of the show, there was, you know, like. Roman's response has always been, you hear the more high-pitched voices cheering him, which is kids.
I didn't get a lot of that.
No, there was some of that during the main event. Okay. There was a little bit. Then, kids and women, I think.
Yeah.
And then those booing.
And men with really, really girly voices.
And the people booing him have lower frequency voices.
Yeah.
Dorks like us.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know. I did, even if that's the case, you know, the you can't wrestle chance were just, and at one point he, I don't know if this is a slightly heelish thing. I don't know. I don't know what direction they're taking with Roman Reigns. Not a new story. But he said, you guys need to shut up and drink your beers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's him. I mean, you know, it's funny because I was looking at the pictures and I said this to you while I was cutting the recap show. I said, what's in it for Roman anymore? Like, at this point, he goes out there, he's getting booed.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen, like, his stock is dropping. They're telling him this was the other part of the story. before we found out about the suspension, it was revealed that...
Well, actually, the stats about house show attendance came out even before Money in the Bank.
Yeah. That was the story. It was that Dean Ambrose was headlining shows in smaller markets, smaller venues, and getting the same numbers as Roman headlining shows in bigger markets and bigger venues. And so the idea was, you know, Roman's not drawing anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what his merch sales are like. Anecdotally, I've heard that there, and I say that, and I literally just Scott Hall said that, but I figured he had some inside info.
Yeah.
That his merch sells really, really well. I mean, you got to figure, you know, the families are coming out there. The kids are going to be the ones buying, having their parents buy them the merch. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But evidently, the Roman Reigns experiment, and I'll say this, all on the heads of WWE Creative. Because they have not had one fucking clue what to do with this guy.
No.
And the few times...
Primarily, the primary reason why it's failed is because he just wasn't ready.
I would agree with that. But at the same time, when we've seen him be booked correctly, he's done well.
In moments. He's never been able to sustain that momentum, though.
I know. I'm torn here because I firmly believe that he's not ready.
Yeah.
He goes out there and he's got that dull look on his face. AJ Styles was on the Stone Cold podcast last night, and he made a really good point. And it was probably, I don't know if it was directed at anybody necessarily, but Stone Cold was bringing up sort of the concept of the brass ring. And AJ said, that's all on me. He said, that's my job to go out there and take it. And the people who do that will rise to the top. Now, has that always been the case? A lot of people bring up Cesaro, for example.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think Cesaro has everything except for a connection, verbally, vocally, whatever, personality-wise with the crowd. We like him. We like him
people,
a lot.
People respect him for his in-ring ability and enjoy his work in the ring.
And that's enough to take him really, really far.
Yeah, but to transcend that and become a true main event player, he's developed a stronger personality.
Yeah, exactly. And so what AJ Styles is saying is Roman needs to go out there and take it instead of just going out there
and do what he's told.
You have to insert yourself in there. At some point, if they're trusting you with this, if they put all this money into you, you're going to have the leverage to say, look, this is what I want to do.
I think of that time when Vince was allegedly writing those really awful promos for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he had a sense of his character and who he wanted his character to be, he would have read that and said, sorry, Vince, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I need to do this. Because imagine like if something like that happened to CM Punk, mm-hmm. like Vince gave him a promo to do, and he read it, and he thought it was garbage. You think, sure, Vince, I'll do that.
No, of course he would have said,
I'm not doing this. Let me go rewrite it, and I'll bring it back.
And that's the major difference between a guy like Roman Reigns, who has zero experience. I mean, he was in FCW, NXT, okay, but then he just got elevated a main roster really quick, elevated the main event scene just with no hesitation. Guys like Stone Cold, guys like Kevin Owens, guys like Sami Zayn, guys like you said, CM Punk, have this wealth of experience. And that the key thing that AJ said in the Stone Cold podcast last night was, I left TNA to go to New Japan, and I placed a bet on myself. And when you do that, he mentioned Prince Devitt, Finn Balor. He said he left to go to NXT making a bet on himself.
Yeah.
And what happens? Good things happen.
Yeah.
You know? And Roman Reigns isn't really betting on himself. He's betting on the other people out there.
I think he's betting on the
on creative knowing what they're doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's putting his faith entirely in other people to control his own destiny.
And when you don't have the background of building yourself up and understanding your worth, you're not going to have the balls or the confidence to say, "Hey, I'm worth this. I don't think this is going to work for me because I know it works for me because that's what got me here."
Yeah, he hasn't spent the decade or so building a brand for himself,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of these guys have.
Right, exactly. So it'll be, I mean, we've said this a million times about Roman. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here with him. It'll be interesting what they do. I honestly thought for sure we were going to get a year-long title reign and I was going to be bored off my ass.
I know, I was expecting that too.
You know, I thought, he's money in blank. Money in the bank. Money in the Bank. My prediction was Dean Ambrose was going to tease a title cash-in and cost Rollins the belt. It didn't happen. Obviously, Dean Ambrose won the belt. And I figured that they'd go on to SummerSlam and have a triple threat. And I figured Roman Reigns would just keep on overcoming the odds.
That's what I thought, too.
So, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I hate that it has to happen this way.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's not going to get that belt back.
Not anytime soon. Not this year.
Not without a complete rescrubbing of his character and building back up, which I think can be done because I think he has talent. I think maybe the suspension is going to maybe teach him a lesson or two.
Yeah.
About hubris. I don't know. I don't know what.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm excited about the fact that the belt is either going to be in Ambrose's hands or Rollins' hands.
Yeah.
You know? And then we've got the brand split coming up, which are the draft coming up.
Yeah.
On July 19th.
I'm expecting Ambrose to have a decent run with the belt to see if he can turn around the house show numbers. If that, you know, is if, A, those numbers are accurate, and B, that's one of the reasons.
Look, if
Reigns
he
may have lost the
if
belt,
he
I don't know.
If Ambrose can't do it, given the level of intensity that he brought last night, then I don't know who can.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about it in a bit. But he was showing some stone cold levels of promo work, of aggression, of passion.
Intensity
of confidence. He was showing all that, which I loved about Stone Cold, made him my favorite guy.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about this off camera, and I'll just bring it up now since we're talking about Ambrose, that I kind of wish it's great they put the belt on him now, and the crowd is reacting to him really well.
Yeah.
But imagine if they had realized that this Reigns thing wasn't going to work, say, around the Royal Rumble, when Ambrose's popularity was arguably at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, the Rumble goes on as booked. Triple H eliminates Reigns. So the last two are Ambrose and Triple H. And I think, you know, especially once that scenario hit, we're all like, okay, Triple H is going to win. He's going to face Reigns at WrestleMania and put him over.
Mm-hmm.
But what if Ambrose had won the Royal Rumble and won the belt that night?
Yeah.
That crowd would have went ballistic.
Yeah, just big time.
The hugest pop probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It would have been insane how over.
You brought this up to me off camera, and it wasn't until now that I realized, yeah, that I know what you're talking about. And I think you're probably right. I think the match with Lesnar took a little bit off his luster because it was just a bad match.
It was an awful match.
The stuff he did with Jericho has been fun, but the match with Jericho, I think, lost a little bit of luster in the beginning simply because of the match that came before it, which was the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Wasn't it like a Fatal 4-Way or some shit? Right, but remember, it was right before. It was the Intercontinental match.
Yeah.
The Intercontinental match. I don't know. I think you're probably right, but given the level of intensity we saw last night, I think he can rebuild that.
Yeah,
but,
I think.
But I think you're right about that.
And I'm sure WWE was thinking, okay, well, we saw Reigns do this with Sheamus when he won the belt on Raw, and how in Philly, the crowd popped huge when he won.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, well, let's give him a little more adversity to battle, and then we can do that on a much larger stage at WrestleMania. I mean, granted, they bungled everything leading up to that. Even the Royal Rumble, they bungled that, terribly, making Reigns look horribly weak.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
30-day suspension makes him look very, very weak. So, and you know what? You know what's really sad, too? Here's the thing. I pull for him.
Yeah.
I pull for him. I want him to do well.
Yeah.
I really love guys like Ambrose and Rollins who have paid their debts.
Yeah.
Who paid their dues, rather. Sorry. Yeah. But, you know, I don't dislike Roman Reigns. I want him to do well. Yeah. It's just, God, he's been boring. When he's been hot, he's been hot. But, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Like, it makes me sad because when he comes back, he's going to get booed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially 30 days is really not that long.
No.
He's going to get booed.
He's going to get booed.
He's going to get booed. He's going to get
horribly
nasty-ass chants about drugs. You know?
Get some rude signs directed
if
his
it's,
way.
If it's a steroid thing, then they're going to chant cheater. If it's a weed or coke thing, I don't know what they're gonna chant. I have no idea, but
it's just more ammunition for people to boo him.
It is, you know. And it's like, what parent wants their kid to be rooting for a guy who had to leave for a drug suspension?
Mm-hmm. It's a bad situation.
I mean, the best thing they could do, I mean, I don't know, I guess if it's steroids, if it's performance, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think if it would help him at all if they said what it was. If they said it was coke, that's don't release that info. That's terrible.
If it's any sort of recreational drug, no.
If it's steroids, is that any better, really?
No.
I mean, like, what's that teaching your kids?
Like, if he bought some supplement at some nutrition store and it ended up that it had something in there that he couldn't take, if it's an accidental thing.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. But even then, people might say, oh, that's bullshit. They're covering it up.
Yeah.
So it's better they don't announce anything.
Yeah, either way, he's going to get killed. And that's what I was thinking when I was there. I was like, what? He has to be thinking, what is in this for me? You know? Like, why am I even out here? He can hop out of here and do kind of a lot of stuff. He can do whatever he wants, you know? I mean, he's athletic, good-looking dude. You know, he's got some charisma when you let it come through.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he can do any number of things.
Yeah.
Hopefully he turns around in the company, because I'd like to see
that. Yeah, me too. And we'll talk about this more in the bonus episode about what they could do to repackage him or what's coming next for him.
We'll get your guys' thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's talk about Raw. We've got a Raw recap to talk about. So here we go.
Rawcast.
I wonder if all of our new listeners out there wonder, what the fuck is that they're doing? Back in the day, we had an old podcast called The Tree of Woe, where we do a Rawcast. And back then, I had my little computer here hooked up.
No, it was my computer.
Whoever's it was. It's murky at best. Hooked up, there's like a GarageBand
loop
that goes...
That I would hit play,
yeah.
And you said Rawcast, and then that was the sound.
It was opposite back then? I'd said Rawcast?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I like that it's different now.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, that's where it's sort of a joke.
Yeah.
For our new listeners out there who are confused and angry.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's talk about Raw real quick. Do you have some Raw notes here?
I do.
What happened first?
Ambrose happened first.
Ambrose pulled up in a cab.
He got out and he's like, whoa, I forgot something.
Cab almost pulled away.
He's like, oh, I forgot my belt in there.
You think it was a WWE employee driving that cab just to make sure the cab driver didn't get any notions?
The speed off with the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Could be.
What if it was like Goldust in the driver's seat? And he's like, now I'm the world champion. A lot of gold dust. Yeah, so that was a cute little bit. Ambrose comes out, man. He cuts a promo showing some newfound intensity. Mm-hmm. The man looks great with the belt. He acts like a champion. He's talking like a champion. Says, you know, I won this. Roman Reigns comes down. He says...
He does his whole kind of wishy-washy milquetoast thing again.
He does. He has that dumb look, dull looking
thing. He's like, hey, I just want to come down. Last night wasn't my night. It was your night. Congratulations, man. What does Ambrose say? He didn't say thank you. He says... I would have done it to you, too.
Man, felt bad for Reigns. I'm like, that's supposed to be your brother. Remember they used to call Ambrose a sidekick? That, yeah, I guarantee you that got under his skin.
Maybe.
He's probably so annoying. He's like, I'm not a fucking sidekick. I'm Dean Ambrose. I'm John Moxley. Anyways, he says that to him. Rollins comes out. Or no, Reigns says, I have a rematch clause. And Rollins comes out and
huge
says...
Huge pop.
Huge pop. He comes out and says, hold on, hold on. Wait a second, wait a second. I pinned you cleanly, Roman Reigns. I should be the one getting the title shot rematch.
Which is true.
Yeah, which is true. So anyways, they just all start bickering. Shane comes down, says, or goes to the ramp with some nice pair of custom Jordans.
Yeah.
Look pretty nice.
Yeah.
Says, hold on a second, I got a good idea. Number one contendership tonight.
is that your Shane impersonation?
This is my Shane impersonation. I got a good idea for you guys. We're going to do a number one contender match of the main event of Raw tonight. They say, okay, sounds good.
I don't think that anybody, either of them said, okay, sounds good. I think Rollins was actually quite upset by that.
Yeah, he was like, no, I don't want to do that. And then Reigns said, ugh. He was like, I'm fucking stoned off my gourd, oh, man. What do goodness. I know? I smoke so much weed backstage. Anyway, that poor guy, he comes out. He already knows he's in trouble. He's like, oh, God. He's like, couldn't they have just suspended me like before Raw so I could just go home and smoke a lot of weed?
I don't think if you just got suspended for violating the wellness policy, you'd go home.
And he already has a suspension, so he can have one more day of like smoking a lot of weed.
Depends if they test you while you're suspended.
What if he didn't get suspended for weed, but he goes home and smokes it anyways? They're like, oh, I'm already on. He's like, wait, but on suspension, I can do whatever I want, right?
They'd probably say no, it doesn't work that way.
Probably not. Okay, so anyways, what happened next?
After that whole thing, we had Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I like the announcers like, yeah, this should be the final match between these two. They can finally blow off all their steam on each other. These two former best friends. And this, was there even a...
Yeah,
Zayn won.
Zayn won
yeah,
clean,
Zayn
yeah.
won. Yeah, he won clean.
He rolled them up or something like that.
Owens got pissed. They went at it. They needed security to tear them apart. Yeah. So their story is nowhere near being closed, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, they should have the blow-off match at SummerSlam.
Yes, they should. And then I'm thinking this. They will probably end up separating them in the draft, but with the caveat that they get a blow-off match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's pretty possible.
That sounds right to me. So that was a lot of fun. Let's see here. Oh.
Probably your favorite part of the show.
My people power! Listen! My name is John Laurinaitis.
What did he say?
Head of Talent Relations.
Former Vice President of Talent Relations.
Former Vice President of Talent Relations and former General Manager of Raw.
And SmackDown.
And SmackDown. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown.
He kept on saying, the premiere of SmackDown TV Live. He did it twice.
I didn't even notice that. That is great. Oh, I love Johnny Ace. He was the inventor of the Ace Crusher,
yes,
which modified is the Stone Cold Stunner, the RKO, the Diamond Cutter. What are the variations? Tommy Dreamer did one, didn't he?
Yeah, 3D. That's a variation.
The 3D is a variation on it. Yeah. So anyways, Johnny Ace comes out, says all that. Shane comes out. So Johnny Ace is making his pitch to be the head of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or the head of Raw, depending on what Shane McMahon wants to do.
Yeah.
And Shane comes out and basically escorts him as if he's an escaped nursing home patient.
Yeah, that forgot to take their meds or something.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, come on, sir. Let's go.
Sir, come on, please. Oh, good. That was great. I love that they had Shane do that. I really kind of wish to see what Stephanie, they would have had her handle it.
Yeah.
That would have been funny because she's so exasperated already with everybody.
Yeah.
Kane and all them. I'm hoping next week we get Vicky.
That'd be great. Vicky Guerrero. That'd be so great.
Yeah.
Next, Enzo and Cass squashed the Vaudevillain. I kind of feel like there's a lot of loose ends they're tying up for the draft.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things, like this storyline. They just kind of said, all right, Enzo Cass, we're going to go out when you guys got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And just put an end to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably.
There wasn't
right.
a whole lot of drama or build to it. They just beat him really quick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of tired of just praising Enzo and Cass's their promos because they're every week they're fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
they're so good. And his little interaction with Shane.
Yeah,
when they both crossed paths was fantastic.
Yeah,
that was great.
They were comparing kicks.
Oh, that was good. And they did a little kick thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. That was really cool.
That was good. Next, AJ demands the club apologize to him.
This is a great little segment.
It was
here.
Awesome.
Yeah, so the club comes down after AJ gives his spiel. They have a really funny back and forth. But then they call out John Cena.
And they all apologize.
They all apologize to Cena. Yeah.
It was good. It was hilarious.
And then they set up a match. Cena challenges somebody in the club. They all sort of put their heads together, decide. I hope that this is sort of the club. They're a threat, but it's very NWO-ish.
Yeah.
It's very NWO. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen enough of what they really did in Japan beyond their matches to know if that was sort of their shtick. I think it kind of was. But
to be kind of a little bit comedic.
Yeah, comedic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of like vintage NWO. Like the good NWO was kind of funny. Anyway, so Carl Anderson starts getting destroyed by Cena. Rest of the club come in and just destroy Cena.
Yeah.
So this is going to keep on going. And
the
going
summer's going.
I told you this on recap. I really hope. I want to see Finn Balor interact in this manner with them. How great would it be for Nakamura to interact with these guys sort of on the same level? Because you know he's going to have like a more oddball sense of humor, just the cultural difference thing.
Yeah, you want to be kind of the wild card.
I want him to be the wild
card. See, but I understand that, but I also kind of want him to be the guy who goes up against the Bullet Club with that same kind of wild card thing.
But this is the thing. That can happen 2 years later.
No, I know.
And it'll be a great... Because he'd be the most dangerous guy in their squad, and they'd have to kind of dance around that. And they all know
that. I get all that, and it would be great.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. And then he could do a solo thing.
Okay.
Oh, I love Shinsuke Nakamura.
He's yeah, so he's good.
He's so good.
Next. Seth had an interview backstage.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was about exactly. I think he was just complaining.
I think I walked towards the kitchen when that happened. Even though I love Seth Rollins. Yeah, I figured, well, I know where this is filling time right here. He's going to talk about the fact that he pinned Roman and he should be the one getting the
time. It was a good promo, though. I just remember what it was about.
Yeah.
Next, Becky Lynch was interviewed, and she was kind of saying that she was, like, it's one strike and you're out with her now, that she's tired of being double-crossed.
She seemed emotionally bent. Over this whole everybody turning on her.
Yeah.
I love Becky Lynch, man. I think she looks like such a star. Like, her packaging looks so great. Like, her color scheme, her design, she looks like an awesome character out of, like, I don't know, an anime or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I fucking love her to death. Then Natalya comes up, runs her down from behind, and establishes her heel credentials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leading to a program between these two.
Yeah, that's good. It was good. It was a decent night for the women.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, actually, kind of a great night because of somebody coming back.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
Next.
Yeah, main event of the evening. This was the biggest headlining match, people.
Hold on. Listen. The most important thing we learned from this match is that finally, the Baron Corbin-Dolph Ziggler feud is over.
I like the announcers actually announced that.
They made a point of saying that.
Yeah, so Baron Corbin, Zack Ryder.
I fast forward through this match, so I know Corbin won, but I don't know what happened.
Oh, in dominating fashion. You know what happened?
It seemed a little long.
The force of nature that is Baron Corbin destroyed half of the hype bros. That's what happened.
But then he doesn't care about it because he doesn't care about anything.
He's all in it for the money, the guaranteed downside contract. That's what he's all in it for.
Okay.
Yeah, he probably negotiates his own deal. He's probably making like $32,000 a year. He's like, I want to make no less than $32,000 a year. And I'm like, okay, we can do that.
All right.
Sign here. I'm all in it for the money.
Next, we had a Wyatt's promo video.
It was fine. I like when they actually came out. I don't really care about. Oh, wait a second. It had like the weird pregnant belly.
Yeah,
that's weird. What was that all about? Are they gonna have some weird baby crawling? What if they made like a CG baby, but with like Bray Wyatt's face? It's like a little CG baby. Listen, hear me out. CG baby. Bray Wyatt's face Snapchat face swapped on it.
Okay.
But then that's Snapchat face swapped with Crying Jordan.
Okay.
Somebody needs to Photoshop that for me.
Yeah.
So I'd appreciate that. The latest member of the Wyatt family. Crying Jordan Wyatt.
After that, we had a Page...
Wyatting Jordan.
A Page interview backstage. I think her getting arrested is obviously some sort of work.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. We got a little segment we're going to do on that here on the channel.
Yeah.
We'll put that off. Dispel those rumors.
Yeah, because it's...
breaking journalism.
Yeah, I don't... She wasn't really arrested. Then while she was doing the interview...
She got quite the spotlight.
Dana Brooke and Charlotte come from behind her, and Renee Young's like distracted while trying to interview her, and Paige is like, what's going on? What are you doing that for?
Yeah.
And then Charlotte and Dana Brooke are...
I kind of like how they were standing just off frame, like the camera goes, and they're just sitting there on their phones.
I know.
Laughing about stuff. It's like, you'd think that somebody like in production would be like, hold on, they're doing an interview right now.
Just, well, you think that Paige would hear them talking, not...
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Feet from her.
Yeah, you'd think.
You'd think. But anyways, they, you know, Paige and Charlotte talk some garbage to each other a little bit.
Right.
Leading up to their match.
Right.
Which happened after that.
Mm-hmm. Good little match.
Yeah, it was decent.
For the championship, Paige came up short. She had given Charlotte the Paige turn. That was a Paige turn, wasn't it? Where she, bang, drops her. Yeah, Paige something.
Rampage.
The Rampage. That's right. Thank you. The Paige turn is like the...
That's what she used to do when she came in.
Yeah.
Initially, yeah.
She gives a Rampage.
But yeah, then...
Dana Brooke totally botches putting that leg on the rope, which is what she's supposed to do. And then she like grabs it, holds it to the rope, and says, look! Touches it.
I know. And like the ref was like, do I throw this match?
I know. So it was so awkward. He was like, no, look, foot. He was like, okay, right. And I like the cameras right there to see the entire botch. It's great. Dana Brooke needs... I mean, I can see how it was awkward, like, for her to put the foot on the thing, but still.
And you have a limited really time. Good. You have 2 seconds to do it. So if you don't get the first try, you're kind of...
Exactly.
...in trouble.
She just held on to the rope and the foot and did this. It looks so stupid. This is why I love wrestling sometimes. It's so stupid sometimes. It's so great. Like any other ref would be like, no, I mean, he could have thrown out the match DQ. Charlotte retains her belt.
Yeah, and then they still could have beat down Paige after the match, and Sasha still kind of could have come out.
But
Sasha returned. That was cool.
Okay, so then.
That was great.
Yeah, so then Sasha returns. Looks like a million bucks. Looks so good. And lays out Dana Brooke with a one punch, gets in there, gives Charlotte the what for. I think she calls it the bank statement, and grabs the title. Paige raises her arm, and it looks good. So I'm speculating right now, SummerSlam, we're going to get the singles match for the championship. Sasha Banks
versus Charlotte.
Charlotte. But at Battleground, maybe we'll get like a tag match. Since Paige seemed to be so prominently featured in this week's episode.
It would seem that way.
Maybe a tag match between, you know, Dana Brooke and Charlotte and Paige.
I wish they wouldn't Sasha do so Banks. Many tag matches with the women's champion involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, baby steps. You know, they're not having Playboy cover models wrestle anymore. You know. Come a long way since WrestleMania 21.
After that, there was a Roman interview.
I actively did not listen to.
I don't think I really did either. It was probably him just stating his claim to be.
And there was like a
match.
Weird hazy smoke that was like filling up the screen, and then there was like some Rastafarian music playing.
Oh dear.
He's like, yeah, I've been at home listening to some Ziggy Marley.
After that, the Wyatts actually came out.
Oh, this was great. I love this. He came down. He mumbo-jumboed his, you know, Bray Wyatt speech thing. But the New Day came out. This is exciting to me, man. I hope this plays out the way it could very dramatically. The New Day are sort of goofballs, but they're a serious, legit threat. Like, they're not the cheating heels anymore. They're legitimately the tag champs.
There was this weird moment where Xavier Woods... kind of seemed entranced by the whole Wyatt presentation.
How cool would it be if they did a kind of thing like they did with Daniel Bryan back in the day and had Xavier join? I think Xavier could pull that off really, really well and not make it cheesy, as if they somehow abducted him and initiated him into their ranks somehow.
And it would actually give their feud some stakes.
It needs... That's the thing about the Wyatt family, is that when they have stakes, not the shit that you eat, but when there's something on the line, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
Feuding against the New Day, I want to see the New Day out of their comfort zone, meaning they're by and large a comedic act. That's why people love them.
Yeah.
But I want to see them face actual fear. And I think they can do that with the Wyatt family. I think this is a good matchup, potentially, assuming creative doesn't jack it up.
Yeah.
Get the guy, whoever wrote the Gold Dust Art, the Golden Truth bits. Get him to write this. What? We've established he's a good writer, whoever that guy is.
Okay.
You don't agree?
Excuse me.
You don't agree?
I mean, some of it was funny.
You seem to be a big fan of it, though.
I was in the early days.
Yeah? Well, I think that's a good idea.
And then I saw Breezango's fake sunburn makeup.
You don't think that would be awesome on the Wyatt Family to have, like, fake sunburn makeup?
No, it would not be
awesome. I think it'd be a $1 million idea, to be honest with you.
It'd be a terrible idea.
It'd be great.
Next, we had another Darren Young promo.
I laughed out loud with this. I really did. I think I'm just getting used to the split screen thing. I just understand that's what we're getting.
Yeah.
And so when he was saying, I forget what the line was, but it was something like, he said, don't take advice from anybody. And he said, but aren't you giving me advice? He said, no, I'm giving you orders. Now do knee ups or knee, whatever they're called.
100 knee lifts.
Knee lifts, yeah. Oh, coach, don't make me do this. I think Darren Young has the great dry wit about him. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's good.
Dealing with an insane person is a good forte for him.
Yes. Next, Titus did an interview backstage.
Yeah. I want to see more comedy from him. I know this angle doesn't really necessitate him being a funny guy doing the $1 million, you know, $1 million, millions of dollars. But I love Titus O'Neil. I think he's got loads of charisma. I just want to see something that entertains me as opposed to just he talked bad to my kids, I'm gonna go beat him up now. But that being said, if he has the US belt at SummerSlam, I'll be very happy.
Yeah,
I think it'd be rad.
That'd be awesome. And then Rusev and Titus were supposed to have a match, but they just brawled the whole time.
It was interesting. They had Titus sort of get the upper hand. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's mm-hmm. good. It's a back and forth feud.
Mm-hmm. After that, there is a Miz promo, which I know you enjoyed quite a bit.
I didn't enjoy it quite.
I know.
It was fucking terrible.
It was.
And I guarantee you didn't have 2.8 million, whatever they say he has. Oh, God, it's so annoying.
After that, Shane and Jericho.
The IC belt is wasting away as we speak.
I know. Shane and Chris Jericho had a backstage segment where.
That was entertaining.
Yeah, that was good.
I like Jericho's been around for so long. I like that he has so much history with the McMahons. That when he does his spiel with either Shane, he can get very specific about their history.
Yeah.
Stephanie, the same thing. You know there's that backstory. It was very entertaining. He made a good point. He's pinned Ambrose before.
Yeah.
He should get a shot at the title.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of devolved into him saying, I don't want to be on whatever show you're running, Shane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Shane said, I'm going to run both shows. And Jericho was like, whatever.
He was angry about it. He wasn't happy.
Not happy.
Not happy.
Not a happy
Jericho. Main event of the night. Rollins versus Reigns. Dean Ambrose on commentary. This is arguably better match than the one Rollins and Reigns had at Money in the Bank.
It was definitely on par. I mean,
it seemed more intense.
Count out finish, you know, excluded.
Yeah, but it seemed like it had more intensity to it.
It did. I mean, Rollins had to shake off a little bit. Here's the thing. I think this is the thing. It's standard, what I always say. So many people, I think these days, have performance anxiety on the big stage in the WWE, be it creative building things, or be it somebody like Roman Reigns. Look, we know that Rollins can perform on the big stage. We know that. But Roman Reigns, maybe it was just a big night for him. Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And maybe that was sort of, and you know, now you're just on Raw.
Well, I'm sure also.
You know you're about to be suspended.
Well, I'm sure also at Money in the Bank, he knew that he had to drop the belt, and I'm sure that was probably tough to swallow.
That could be. That could be. And then, you know, but there's also, you know, there's not nearly as much pressure. You know, you're about to be suspended. You're about to go on vacation, basically, for 30 days. So maybe the pressure was off. Who knows? Maybe Rollins had some ring rust. I don't know. It could be any number of factors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely say it was on par with the match the night before. Probably even better. Ambrose, I thought, did a bang-up job on commentary. Again, as champion so far, night one, I think he's knocked it out of the park. Count out finish. Shane comes down and says, no, we need our number one contender. Ambrose steps in and says, hey, screw it. I'll take on both these guys at Battleground. Shane says,
great idea.
Yeah, triple threat. Shield triple threat at Battleground. And then Ambrose proceeds to give both first Reigns, then Rollins, the dirty deeds. That was a very Austin thing to do.
Yeah.
Everybody gets his finisher.
And going back to the Reigns situation, about his involvement in Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just feel like they need to do that, another loose end they need to tie before they can really start going with the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of start fresh with stories.
Yeah.
Maybe they have something else huge planned for Ambrose and Rollins at SummerSlam, and they just kind of need to get that out of the way first. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
Maybe you kind of have to wait to see how things play out.
My vague prediction would be Shield Triple Threat is such a big deal anyways. I could see him doing it 2 months in a row. We might get a dusty finish or something.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty surprised when they said they were going to do that at Battleground.
Yeah. I mean, good for them. That's making money matches for minor pay-per-views.
I know, because that's a WrestleMania main event worthy match.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. That's why I think we're going to see it at SummerSlam also.
Yeah, that could be. All right. Questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready for questions.
Daniel Andrews. Do you think that WWE will still try to keep Roman face when he returns? They shouldn't. Turn him heel.
Well, at this point, it makes me wonder. I mean, that's a pretty good question, because is some of the pressure off to force him to be the guy? Is the pressure off now that, hey, you know what? We did everything we could. He got his ass suspended.
Might be off creative, but the pressure's still on him.
Yeah, I'm talking about creative. I'm talking about creative. People who are making decisions. That's what I'm talking about.
Keep hitting this table.
People who are making decisions, the pressure is off. It's like, okay, look, we know his draw didn't skyrocket. His merchandise, I have no idea, maybe didn't skyrocket. We didn't see what we wanted to see. Okay, so experiment's over. We still have him in our back pocket. We'll still work on building him. But we don't need the title on him now, because Dean Ambrose is over here with it, killing it. We can put it on Rollins, killing it. We can split these guys up for the draft and have them each carry the title, and they'll both kill it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, tell me how great would it be? Ambrose has the title, so he's going to be motivated. Rollins has a title, he'll be motivated, and we'll get really, really strong main event scenes on both shows.
Yeah.
So
that'd be ideal.
I think the pressure is probably off creative, so they can do something like make him heal, because fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
He's going to need a restart when he comes back. Again, we'll talk about this more on our bonus episode.
Yeah.
David Fishkind, do you think the Shield Triple Threat would be better served to wait until SummerSlam? We just talked about that, actually. They may still do it. Who knows?
I think we've seen situations where you get your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You can have, you know, a minor pay-per-view and then end in maybe a dusty finish of some sort, or even up the stakes at SummerSlam. Something to do with the brand split, or even tossed in a steel cage or a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen a triple threat Hell in a Cell.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't think,
like, off the top of my head, but, you know, if they do happen, they're rare. Why not put the Shield in a Hell in a Cell SummerSlam?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
The 8-time European champion, Dwayne Nix.
I see. Now I'm not sure if I want to keep on answering, because every time we answer, he gets another European.
And he's got two questions this week.
So he really thinks that he's going to be a 10-time European champion coming out of this podcast?
Yeah.
All right, I guess so.
With Dean winning the title, how long do you expect him to keep it? He's going to get a decent run to see if he can turn the live events around. That's my prediction. A few months.
What do we got? SummerSlam. I'd say he keeps it till at least
Survivor
Series.
Yeah. Especially if there's two world titles.
If there's two world titles and Rollins is on the other brand, he's going to have it for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then it'll be, dude, and then it's going to be either Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn.
Or AJ.
Or AJ. I love anybody who can get... Honestly, besides Cena.
Yeah.
I love anybody who's going to have one of these world titles.
Yeah. River.
What?
Just says River.
River?
Yeah.
River.
Right there.
The name is River?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought European champ had two.
Oh, the other one's coming later.
Oh, dear. Just so right now he's a 9-time European
champ. Yeah, he'll be 10-time by the time the show's over with
him. Oh, God.
River, just curious if you thought that Charlotte was drunk last night. I didn't notice anything.
I didn't notice anything. She is a flair.
I knew you were going to say that. Adam Galloper, as of now, who's in a better spot, Apollo Crews or Baron Corbin?
Oh, where was Apollo Crews on the show last night? Was he on the Raw last night?
No.
No. So you tell me.
He had a better spot in the pay-per-view, though.
Debatable.
He faced the stronger opponent.
Would you say the tag team championship is the weakest spot on the show because they
curtain jerked? No, not necessarily, but they always... You need to start off the pay-per-view with a top quality match to get the crowd into it.
Yeah, I'm just saying order doesn't necessarily.
No, I'm not saying that
doesn't
is, that
necessarily.
It's not the end all be all. I agree.
Probably going to face Sheamus in a rematch on SmackDown.
That could be.
So well, I would say Baron Corbin, who's moved on to his second feud.
Well, this is Apollo Crews' second feud. His first feud was against Stardust.
That wasn't really a feud.
They had a bunch of matches.
That is nay count.
The answer is Apollo Crews. Patrick Cheeseman.
Cheeseman.
Who would you book for a surprise return at SummerSlam? I got one name. Kurt Angle.
Apparently, in the news, he's been talking to Triple H. He said it's not a matter of if, it's when. This is going to happen.
Yeah. Now, the 10-time European champion.
Oh, I don't like that at all. We're just giving away wins. We're giving away championships.
He's asking good questions, so he deserves the reins. The various title reigns.
You're the guy determining if the questions are good, though. So I'm not sure this is a collaborative effort to put him over. But go ahead. Go ahead. We'll see.
That's fine. I'm the booking committee in terms of the questions.
You are the booking committee.
With AJ winning via dusty finish, do you see Cena going over at Battleground and SummerSlam? Cena will win at SummerSlam.
Cena will win at SummerSlam, yes.
AJ will probably go over at Battleground.
You think Finn Balor's going to show up at Battleground?
No.
He has to. It's imminent. The draft is coming up. You think he's not going to be there for the draft?
I don't know.
You're crazy. He won't be there.
Goldo. What do you think about American Alpha coming to the main roster with Kurt Angle as their manager?
I don't like it at all. We got this question last week. I do not like it at all. I love Kurt Angle. I love American Alpha. I want them to be their own thing. Sadly, I think that there's probably such a lack of creativity that we might see that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see that.
I would definitely want to see some interaction between them.
Yeah. But I don't want them to be subservient to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trace Conlon. How much longer does Chris Jericho have, and will he get another title shot? He might get another title shot, but I don't think he's going to have another title reign.
I agree with that. There's too many other guys.
Depending on how long he's going to be around, he might get into another program with Ambrose for the belt.
That'd be interesting.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Wow. This name is just a bunch of numbers and letters.
Awesome.
R3H0I3S.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know. How old were you when you went to your first wrestling event? What organization and lasting memory from it? I remember the first wrestling show I went to was a WCW Nitro. Probably 97 or 98.
Okay, let me ask you something.
What?
So I was up the other night. I was late up. And I turned on a random episode of Nitro from February of 97.
Okay.
I didn't watch the entire thing. It started off with Public Enemy versus... Oh, God, who was it?
Nasty Boys?
No. It was not one of those.
High Voltage?
No. Shit. Who was it? Anyways, it was live randomly, but it was from Arco. Like, I just chose the most random one. February 97 seems a little early for me to have seen my first pay-per-view. So I think we went in 98.
Yeah, it might
when be. Whenever Scott Steiner debuted as White Thunder, which he dropped immediately but kept the blonde gimmick.
Yeah.
Whenever that was, I believe was my first wrestling show. I don't think we saw the small Mather show that Kazarian was at.
Oh, and Abdul the Butcher was at?
And Carino was at.
Yeah.
I can't believe the fact you remembered that and you reminded me of the fact that we saw Abdullah the Butcher live.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. God, that's scary.
But anyways, yeah, I remember that show. Cause we were so hyped to go because we made signs.
Yeah.
I made an Andy Kaufman t-shirt to wear.
Yeah.
We were really hyped. We were really big wrestling nerds back then.
We still are, dude.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do this shit for a living. Next question.
Hold on. Did I go to a Raw before that? Went to a Raw.
I think all you guys went to a Raw that I didn't go to.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't like that big of a market.
Can't remember which one was first. Maybe it was Raw. Whatever. It was in the 97, 98 area.
Right.
Earth's Angel Scoops. Who's one wrestler a lot of people hate on who doesn't deserve it? He thinks that Sheamus gets too much hate.
Okay, this is a good question. Big Show.
Yeah.
I think Big Show is a big selling guy. I think is a big selling point for the company. I think that they use him when they need to use him for certain things. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, but I think he deserves a lot less hate than he just sort of naturally gets. Now, as a fan that watching today, do I want to see him like in the main event scene? No, But he's got a purpose. If he fights Shaq at WrestleMania 33, I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be
fun. I think there's a couple of the veterans like that who are kind of maligned just because they've been around so long. And
yeah,
people
exactly.
kind of tired of them. Like
yeah.
Kane.
Like Kane, exactly.
Kane still
yeah.
does great work.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So, yeah. Big Show, Kane, both good answers.
Yeah.
Cannon.
Oh, Cannon. He's got a great recap show. You guys check it out. I think it's YouTube That Cannon Guy.
That's his Twitter handle.
Okay.
With rumors of two pay-per-views a month after the brand split, do you think WWE will bring back some of the old shows? I want In Your House back.
I can't agree more. I absolutely In Your House. Agree with that. In Your House.
With the original graphics.
Yes.
And set.
Absolutely. I'm such a nostalgia freak for that shit, man. I missed all that shit. Standard definition television.
Yeah. We got some video questions, too.
Okay.
First up, Patrick Sparks.
Let's see it.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. My question for you this week is, what is your favorite and least favorite WrestleMania match of each distinct era?
Thanks, Patrick. Okay, so WrestleMania. Okay, so from the early days.
Yeah, we'll say, so like the Hulkamania days.
Yeah.
Favorite match. WrestleMania match, sorry.
I don't really know if I have one. Number one, I'm not that well-versed. I mean, the biggest match out of that time was obviously Hogan-Andre. So I guess I can say that. Are we talking about Ultimate Warrior that time
yeah.
too? Okay,
yeah.
I'll give it to Hogan-Warrior because that was such a weird time. The Warrior was so hot, so quick, and he was so weird. And watching that match, you do get a sense of, oh my God, Hogan was a god back then. And he's getting beat by this guy. And then knowing the history after what happened, you know, he didn't really have a strong reign after that.
No.
You know, it was all marred by weirdness, and then he held out for like a bigger chunk, and then he got fired, and then he got back, and everybody thought it was a different
guy.
Weird,
yeah.
It's all weird. I like weird things. I'm going to say that.
I'm going to go with the traditional pick, Macho Man, Steamboat, WrestleMania.
Okay, there you go. It was a classic match.
Classic match. After that, what do they call that? The new era? The young era?
The new generation.
New generation.
The new generation.
So that one would lead us up to the Attitude Era.
I'd say Hitman versus HBK is easily.
WrestleMania, the yeah. Iron Man match?
Yeah,
that's a good
so.
Pick.
Yeah.
Attitude Era.
Attitude Era. You know what? I would say for me, I guess Attitude Era would be, and it's not a great match by any means, but it leaves the biggest mark for me was Stone Cold HBK. Not a great match, but it marked the beginning of Stone Cold's reign. And I was all in at that point.
I'm going to say Stone Cold, The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Their first headlining WrestleMania match.
Okay.
Where Austin turns heel.
Okay.
Remember watching that?
I don't know if you'd consider it. I'll put it as well. I don't know if you'd consider it Attitude Era still. Or...
You say Hitman, Stone Cold, WrestleMania 13?
No.
Okay.
No, I was going to say Rock Hogan. Because just the magnitude of that match and like what the crowd was doing at the time. That was really interesting too.
Yeah.
I thought the NWO angle could have been way better. Could have been built up way better.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that the crowd didn't care that it was NWO Hogan.
I know.
And they just recognized, oh my God, Hogan's back.
I know.
You know, that was what was cool about it. It wasn't that.
The crowd realized the magnitude of what they were listening
to. It's like, you're bringing in the NWO, but no, you're bringing in Hulk Hogan. You know, that was kind of cool to understand. Everybody knew that.
Yeah. Ruthless Aggression. I'm going to say HBK's retirement match.
Okay. Oh, good one. That's a good one. That's a
against
really
the Undertaker.
Good one. I can't say no to that. I mean, the thing is, there were so many classic matches between, like, okay, you had RVD, you had Kurt Angle, you had Brock Lesnar, you had Eddie Guerrero, you had Chris Benoit.
There's so many.
Like that WrestleMania when Eddie retained the title and Benoit won the title, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was classic just in its magnitude. So I mean, that was a weird era where there was a lot going on. I just don't have. I mean, Angle versus HBK. We talked about this on the show yesterday.
Yeah,
was a classic match from that era too. But that one, the sense of history behind it, and then even the final match. I don't know if it was really still considered Ruthless Aggression, but Triple H versus Undertaker with Shawn Michaels.
Oh, and the Hell in the Cell.
The Hell in the Cell, and they did the sort of the bow at the end.
Yeah,
I mean that
the end of an era.
That gave me chills.
Yeah,
that
was a great
match. Chills.
The reality era. Was there an era that precedes reality era after Ruthless? Oh, the PG era. Let's call it that.
PG era.
I would say that Hell in the Cell, you just mentioned that's in the PG era.
Okay, well, I'll say that then. Because it definitely wasn't a PG match.
No, it wasn't. But it was great. Reality era. I guess that's what we're in now.
Was there a classic CM Punk WrestleMania match?
No.
Then I don't really have a choice.
I would say Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay, there you go. That's it. Yeah. That definitely is, yeah.
Yeah. Next question from Richie Watson. Let's take a look.
Hey, what's up, Tango and Cash? I'm here. Zibri! Baron Corbin. And we got one question for you. Do you think he'll ever be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion? And we got four words for you, friendos.
Believe in the Corb.
He's scary.
No, he's not. To answer your question, no, he's never going to be WWE champion. Never.
Is Baron Corbin going to be WWE champ?
Never. No.
No, he's not going to be champ. No. No, he won't be champ.
No.
He's not on the right trajectory.
No.
What's next?
Adam Oster.
All right, let's take a look, Adam.
Hey, I loved you guys since Machinima. So, yeah, I finally got my shit together, and now I'm a patron. But I got a question about Dean Ambrose. I was listening to an interview with him. It was done a while ago, but still. He was just like saying, fuck this, fuck that, talking shit about Total Divas and stuff like that. And that's just the kind of guy that he is. And I was wondering if maybe they're kind of hesitant to give him a title run because that's kind of how he is behind the scenes. He doesn't have like the same mentality as maybe a John Cena or a Roman Reigns. Not as marketable, I guess, because it's sure as hell not about his pop because he's hella over. So what do you guys think about that? Hey, make sure you too sweet Steve. Quit being a heel.
You gonna too sweet me? Come on, just too sweet me.
No.
Can I too sweet your forehead?
No.
No? You're not going to let me touch you?
You cannot too sweet any part of my person.
Oh, and too sweet your butt cheeks?
I'm going to do that.
Hell, I don't want to do that. That's gross. What was the question again?
Well, Ambrose's attitude, because, you know, he'll in interviews, he'll speak his mind.
Oh, yeah, this was interesting because he sent this in before the title change.
Yeah.
So the question is, or the answer is no. I'm sure they're just fine. They want to test this out.
Yeah.
They want to test this out. And it will be interesting to see what kind of presence he... But look, if they had Seth Rollins, who was like one of the best heels of the past 5 years, they had him on media appearances, they can do the same thing with Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
I mean, they did it with Stone Cold.
I mean, he speaks his mind, and he might not necessarily enjoy some of the kind of
look
fringe things WWE does, and they're probably like Total Divas.
He's going to be on Total Divas. He made the choice to do that. He said yes to that.
Yeah.
He's a company guy.
And he's also personable enough that he can.
He's dressed up that he's not a... He's dressed up to be not a company. He's a total company guy. Yeah. He'll do it in his way, and he'll do it really, really good. Really good question, though.
Yeah, good question.
I don't know.
I said Total Divas is one of WWE's fringe programs, but I don't know if it really is because it gets good ratings.
I think it's a big moneymaker for them.
I watch it.
Yeah, I do not. I but not because I don't want to. I just haven't had the time. I don't have cable.
Yeah, that's a problem for you. Are you ready?
Ready for what?
The greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is.
Oh, you're talking about Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah, 12 names, 6 real, 6 fake. I kind of worry that you may have done this already a few months back.
All right, at the $10 Patreon tier, you can vote on the theme of Kayfabe Corner. We present you with two options every week. What were your two options this week, Larson?
I decided to go, since last time I did it, and you did really well. Yeah. So I decided to take things back.
Oh, no.
To the olden days of pro wrestling.
Oh, no.
So the choices were... Luthez,
okay,
and Buddy Rogers.
Luthez and Buddy Rogers. Wow, this is gonna be fun. I love old shit.
But I feel like you might have done something older than this. I don't remember exactly. But you did it 1 week.
I did golden. What's considered golden era? It was all weird shit.
Okay.
I don't think I went. I think Luthez was like in the mix.
Yeah.
But I wasn't Luthez specifically. Yeah. I think I just did golden era.
Yeah, that could be. That's what I did. Some of these names might sound familiar to you.
Okay.
Hopefully not.
Probably not. I have a terrible memory, so that works in your favor.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. First, number one.
Okay.
Jumbo Mantell.
Fake.
Yeah. Two, Whipper Watson.
A fake.
Real.
Okay.
Three, Dom Logan.
How do you spell Dom?
D-O-M.
Dom Logan. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four, Bill Longson.
How do you spell Long? What was it?
Longson.
Longson?
Yeah.
Bill Longson?
Correct.
Fake.
Real. Five.
Okay.
Iron Jack Connors.
That sounds very real. I think it is real. I'm going to say real.
Fake.
Wow, you did good.
Six. Okay. Everest Marshall.
That's real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next. Duke Dallas.
Good name, but it's fake.
Yeah, it is. Next. Fitz Rainier.
Fitz Rainier. It sounds like you combined a German name and a French name. I'm going to say fake.
It is fake.
Okay.
Next, okay. Houston Harris.
Houston Harris. Boy, that sounds fake. I'm going to say real.
Yeah, it is real.
Okay.
Next, Austin Leone.
Ooh, good name. Real.
Fake.
Ooh.
11. Luke Graham.
Graham, you wouldn't fake a Graham name. That's real.
Yeah. Last one.
I love my justifications.
Handsome Johnny Bear End.
Bear End?
Yeah.
Handsome Johnny Bear End. Just because I want it to be real, it's real.
It is real.
Nice. I love that. 8.
Fuck. 2 questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
What was the name of Lou Thesz's biography? Would you get 7?
8.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude, I did good. What's the name of Lou Thesz's biography? I'm going to say, well, he's a straight shooter. I'm going to just say he called it Lou Thesz.
Hooker. He was called Hooker.
That's great.
Next.
Hooker.
How old was Thesz when he won his first NWA World Heavyweight title?
What a great question. 27.
21.
Ah, fuck.
Pretty young.
Yeah, that was pretty young, man. What a good showing by me.
Yeah, 8. You've been on a roll of late.
I've been on a roll, baby.
I gotta up my game.
You need to dial it up, but you dial it up this week. You tried to. I'm gonna dial it up even more on you next week.
Okay,
I'm dialing it up.
You could take the lead. That's 8's a pretty
high
score.
You know what I'm doing right now?
You're dialing it up.
I'm dialing it up.
That's not a rotary phone, though.
I'm dialing it up. I'm sure there's an app on here that looks like a rotary phone.
But it's not a real rotary phone.
That's okay. I did really good. I'm
you
up
did
8
do well. You did
right
well.
Now.
Yeah.
So next week, depending on what you do.
You could take the lead, yes.
Hopefully you get a donut hole next week.
I don't think anybody's got, no one's got a donut. The lowest score of is 4.
If you get a 4.
Yeah, you're up by 4, yeah.
It's going to be hard times, baby.
I can do math.
It's going to be hard times. Everybody's probably disappointed that when the double count out, I didn't say, oh, listen up, Shane O'Mac, I got a good idea. Let's have Seth Rollins and that junky Roman Reigns outside of the ring, right, baby? And then the referee will count to 10, but they're still not in the ring. And you know what that means? That means the dust is finished. Nobody wins.
Nobody wins.
I want to say thank you to all the patrons out there giving their hard-earned money that they get working at hard times jobs, giving it to us so we can make this program for you. Yeah, baby. And then, yeah, so that's our show for the day, baby. Do you know why?
Because we're running out of stuff to talk about.
Friendo power. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.